Genesis chapter 31, and we will read from verse 1. And he, that is Jacob, heard the words of Laban's sons, saying, Jacob hath taken away all that was our father's, and of that which was our father's hath he gotten all this glory. And Jacob beheld the countenance of Laban, and behold, it was not toward him as before. And the Lord said unto Jacob, Return unto the land of thy fathers, and to thy kindred, and I will be with thee. And Jacob sent and called Rachel and Leah to the field unto his flock, and said unto them, I see your father's countenance, that it is not toward me as before, but the God of my father hath been with me. And ye know that with all my power I have served your father, and your father hath deceived me, and changed my wages 10 times. But God suffered him not to hurt me. If he said thus, The speckled shall be thy wages, then all the cattle bear speckled. And if he said thus, The ringstraight shall be thy hire, then bear all the cattle ringstraight. Thus God hath taken away the cattle of your father and given them to me. And it came to pass at the time that the cattle conceived that I lifted up mine eyes and saw in a dream, and behold, the rams which leaped upon the cattle were ringstraight, speckled and grizzled. And the angel of God spake unto me in a dream, saying, Jacob. And I said, Here am I. And he said, Lift up now thine eyes and see, all the rams which leap upon the cattle are ringstraight, speckled and grizzled. For I have seen all that Laban doeth unto thee. I am the God of Bethel, where thou anointest the pillar, and where thou vowedest a vow unto me. Now arise, get thee out of this land, and return unto the land of thy kindred. And Rachel and Leah answered and said unto him, Is there yet any portion or inheritance for us in our father's house? Are we not counted of him strangers? For he hath sold us, and hath quite devoured also our money. For all the riches which God hath taken from our father, that is ours, and our children's, now then, whatsoever God hath said unto thee, do. Then Jacob rose up, and set his sons and wives upon camels, and he carried away all his cattle, and all his goods which he had gotten, the cattle of his getting which he had gotten in Paddan Aram, for to go to Isaac his father in the land of Canaan. And Laban went to shear his sheep, and Rachel had stolen the images that were her father's. And Jacob stole away unawares to Laban the Syrian, in that he told him not that he fled. So he fled with all that he had, and he rose up and passed over the river and set his face toward the Mount Gilead. And it was told Laban on the third day that Jacob was fled. And he took his brethren with him and pursued after him 7 days' journey, and they overtook him in the Mount Gilead. And God came to Laban the Syrian in a dream by night and said unto him, Take heed that thou speak not to Jacob either good or bad. Then Laban overtook Jacob. Now Jacob had pitched his tent in the mount, and Laban with his brethren pitched in the mount of Gilead. And Laban said to Jacob, What hast thou done that thou hast stolen away unawares to me, and carried away my daughters as captives taken with the sword? Wherefore didst thou flee away secretly and steal away from me, and didst not tell me, that I might have sent thee away with mirth and with songs, with tabret and with harp? And hast not suffered me to kiss my sons and my daughters? Thou hast now done foolishly in so doing. It is in the power of my hand to do you hurt, but the God of your father spake unto me yesternight, saying, Take thou heed that thou speak not to Jacob either good or bad. And now, though thou wouldst needs be gone, because thou sore longest after thy father's house, yet wherefore hast thou stolen my gods? And Jacob answered and said to Laban, because I was afraid, for I said, peradventure thou wouldst take by force thy daughters from me. With whomsoever thou findest thy gods, let him not live. Before our brethren discern thou what is thine with me, and take it to thee. For Jacob knew not that Rachel had stolen them. And Laban went unto Jacob's tent, and unto Leah's tent, and into the two maidservants' tents, but he found them not. Then went he out of Leah's tent, and entered into Rachel's tent. Now Rachel had taken the images, and put them in the camel's furniture, and sat upon them. And Laban searched all the tent, and found them not. And she said to her father, let it not displease my lord that I cannot rise up before thee, for the custom of women is upon me. And he searched, but found not the images. Amen. May the Lord bless to us this reading from his word. A slightly longer reading, but I wanted to take in quite a bit of the story today. So thank you for your patience. When Jacob left his home in Canaan, after deceiving his father Isaac in order to obtain the blessing intended for his brother Esau, his mother Rebekah told him this. She said, my son, obey my voice and arise. Flee thou to Laban my brother, to Haran, and tarry with him a few days until thy brother's fury turn away. We read those words previously in Genesis chapter 27. She told him to tarry with Laban a few days. That was 20 years ago. The few days had become a long, long time. Those 20 years comprised 7 years working for Rachel, whom Jacob loved, only for Laban to trick Jacob into marrying Leah, Rachel's sister. Jacob then spent another 7 years working for Rachel, and then, as we heard before, 6 years during which Jacob's wealth grew greatly. God blessed Jacob with great flocks of spotted and striped and ring-streaked and speckled and grizzled sheep and cattle and goats, and his wealth grew. During that time, or at least the latter part of those 20 years, 12 children were born to Jacob, 11 boys and a girl. And now Jacob knew that it was time to leave Haran and Laban after 20 years. Three things brought Jacob to this position. Three things happened that made Jacob realize it was time to leave. The first thing I want us to note is that the circumstances changed, because Jacob heard Laban's sons complaining of Jacob's wealth and accusing Jacob of stealing it from their father, which was simply not true. And he also felt that Laban's attitude towards him had changed, and he began to wonder if he was welcome there anymore. Indeed, he began to wonder if his family were safe. So that's the first thing. The circumstances changed for Jacob, and he was aware of this growing displeasure and indeed anger at him. The second thing that happened was that Jacob was reminded of God's promise, because the Lord came and told Jacob in a dream that it was time to leave and return home to Canaan, because that was the land of promise. So we read in verse 13 that the Lord says, I am the God of Bethel, where thou anointedst the pillar, and where thou vowest a vow unto me. Now arise and get thee out of this land and return unto the land of thy kindred. So that was the second thing. The first thing was that Jacob's circumstances changed. The second thing was that the Lord revealed to him, or reminded him, of the promise that was made of the land. The third thing that happened is that Jacob spoke to Rachel and Leah, and he told them what was in his mind, and they confirmed his views. Jacob had a big decision to make. After 20 years, he was going to leave what had been his home for those 20 years and return back to a land that had changed. He didn't know perhaps what was happening in his family, and he wasn't sure how his brother would react to him. It was a big decision. And for the rest of the time that we have available, I just want to mention some things about that, especially keeping in mind some of the younger people that we have listening. Sometimes we have decisions to make, and sometimes we wonder what we should do. And our decision might be something like, will we go to school? What job will we have? Where will we live? Who will we marry? Sometimes they're big decisions like that. Or sometimes they're small decisions like, where will I go with my friends? Who will be my friends? What will I do with my friends? How will I pass my time? We often, if you're anything like me, we often wish that the Lord would tell us what to do, both with the big decisions and with the little decisions of life. And we think to ourselves, why can't I get a word from the Lord to help me to make up these decisions that I've got in the way that God spoke to Jacob or Moses or Paul? Because it would be so much easier to know that I was doing the right thing if the Lord would just tell me what it was that I was supposed to do, the way he used to tell these other people. But I want us to notice three things about the way in which Jacob came to his decision. There were three things affected Jacob's decision: his feelings, God's word, and his trusted friends. And these three things came together to guide Jacob's path. And I want us to apply that to ourselves today. Jacob sensed, he had a feeling that things were not right, because he heard mumblings in the background. He heard these sons of Laban talking. He discerned in Laban's attitude towards him that things were not as they once were. And so he had a feeling that change needed to be made. And the Lord confirmed that with that word of direction, that reminder of the promises that God had made to Jacob and Jacob had made to God. And these two things came together so that over a period of time, an impression was laid upon Jacob's mind that the way ahead required change and alteration. The Lord had given Jacob wisdom and intelligence and a need that he realized something was about to change. And he gave him an opportunity, and he gave him a word of direction. And that was how he directed Jacob as to what he was to do. And that is still how the Lord directs his people in how we are to live and how we are to make our decisions, big decisions and small decisions. Let me give you an example. Supposing that you're planning to do some studying or and go to school or go to college or go to university, but you don't know where to go. How could you know? How do you decide about something like that? How do you decide about where you go to? Well, what do you feel? You think about your feelings. You think about your knowledge, the wisdom that God has given you, the facts that appertain to the situation before you. And you think about all those things. And that thinking includes what God has taught you. Not by a voice from heaven or a dream like it was with Jacob, because God doesn't speak like that today. He speaks through the Lord Jesus Christ. He speaks in the gospel. He speaks through the Bible. He speaks by his preachers. And he gives us the principles upon which we are to make our decisions and follow our paths. The preacher or the Bible is not going to say to you that you have to go to this particular college, or that you have to marry that particular person, or that you have to study this particular course or take that new job. But the Holy Spirit will open the Word of God to us and allow us to test our feelings and our desires by what we know to be right and good and helpful, so that our decision is made by considering the circumstances of our lives, the gospel principles that the Lord has given us. And also, do you remember Rachel and Leah and how Jacob called them and explained to them the situation? We also share these things with the people that we trust and those who love us and care for us. And those three things that happened in Jacob's life are the same that direct his people today. So then, what did Jacob do? He left Haran. He quickly gathered his family, his flocks, his goods, and he left, doing so with the protection and the help and the blessing of God. But I want to ask you a question. What if he hadn't left? What if Jacob had not left at that time? Though he heard the boys speaking against him, though he remembered the promises of God, and though his wives said to him, "Yes, this is a good time to go, we're with you, let's go." What if Jacob had said, "I'm going to wait a while yet"? Would God have been angry with him? Would terrible things have happened to him and to his family? No. Because God would still love Jacob. God would still protect Jacob, and God would still bless Jacob, because Jacob had the promises of God given to him. And all that would have happened is that God, by another means, would have brought about the same ends as he had promised and he had willed. Do you understand what I'm saying here? We often make poor decisions, and we often make wrong turns in life. And we often look at the things that are going on around about us and our circumstances and our situations and think, we need to make a change, we need to do something, and we end up making poor decisions and wrong decisions. But God's will and God's purpose never misses a step. God's purpose is always fulfilled, and God's love is always on his people, even when we make poor decisions, and even when we get things wrong. God leads us and teaches us and brings us by the paths that he has ordained to the place that he has promised. So in some senses, the question is not what shall I do, but whose am I? Do we trust the Lord? Do we depend upon him? Do we see that the decisions that we have to make and the questions that we have to answer are to be made in the light of his direction and his teaching? And then he will take the responsibility of looking after us and keeping us safe and accomplishing the things that he has promised for our good. When we trust in the Lord, he will help us. No matter which school we choose to attend and which path we choose to take, even our mistakes work together for our good. The wise man Solomon said in Proverbs chapter 3 verse 6, "In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths." May we acknowledge the Lord, and he will direct our paths and help us with our decisions. Amen.